Well, we are currently at the stage of crafting the project, working on all the logistics and also talking, seeking to find the funding that will be able to roll out the first phase of the project. In the coming months, we will be looking to disseminate that information in terms of how you can actually become part of the project. But right now, we are crafting the logistics so that when we actually hit the ground with this project, that as many people can take advantage of the project as possible. Right now, the Instant Kitchen Garden is retail there every day. You can visit our Facebook pages, all green 246 on Facebook, and you can find our page and you can see what we have on offer. You can always give us a call at 811-8112 to get more information on the Instant Kitchen Garden. The Instant Kitchen Garden is something that was created for the busy person. As it is a great solution, it has nothing of great to protect against pests. Most people say also protect against mosquitoes as well. It comes in pills, so it makes that one of the more important things in cooking. So that's one reason why you don't have to put much labor regarding the actually breed. It also has an automatic irrigation system running through it with drip lines. Some people who are garden enthusiasts, they opt to have the semi automatic, where just they turn the dial and turn it on for themselves, or they like watering it themselves. You can employ any strategy that you want, but essentially, the garden was designed for those persons who, in their mind, that they have a black thumb, that they don't get food, so to speak. So that's one of the ways that you can access the Instant Kitchen Garden. What we recognize is that the Instant Kitchen Garden is more wanting up in the backyards than what we would call the middle class or upper class. So that's one of the reasons why we decided to develop a program such as the 360 living system to try to gain access to the at-risk families, the poor families in Barbados that really and truly need something that you can send to garden to produce food or safe for them. It was a done project with the Barbados Association of Retired Persons, BARP. That was a huge success as well. We also did projects with the Rotary. Actually, Rotary is who would have given us the circular concept for the 360 living system. So, in the coming months, Barbados can expect to see the 360 living system program being rolled out, where we will be looking to target those at-risk families, especially those that were identified by the Prime Minister. So, we are doing all within our power to ensure that this program is for the post-COVID-19 to give all of those at-risk families and more the opportunity to at least have some legs and start an entrepreneurship journey in relation to farming, producing food, producing water, producing energy.
All right, and Nicola, how can the public interact with the Accelerator Labs? How can they get involved? Just tell me how they can. We wanna take people now from these ideas and things we've discussed into action. How can they get involved?
Correct. So a good place to start is if you use social media, for example, such as Twitter, follow us at UNDP Barbados. And if you're using Facebook, it's at UNDP Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. You can follow along on what we're doing. We also have a few initiatives that we have been launching that allow people to interact with us. So one of them that I mentioned earlier is in collaboration with Farm Finder. We're having a webinar on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. where we're encouraging farmers, fisher folk, and the general public to tune in and provide their input. We also launched an initiative last week called Island Hack, where we're asking people to brainstorm, to innovate, build prototypes that solve challenges under COVID. So actually the submission date for that is this week. So what we're asking people to do is to submit their innovative island hack proposal via WhatsApp. So it's 832-5075 with either a 3-minute video or written message. and shortlisted candidates will then be notified of their selection.
Pause. I need you to repeat that number. So the people that call here and complain and have all the ideas in the world at times, they can actually do something with those ideas productive.
Exactly.
So I need you to repeat that number again.
Sure. So it's 832-5075. So we're asking people, as I said, to submit their ideas, and they can have a chance to win three different prizes. First prize is $10,000 US. Second prize is $5,000 US or 10,000 Barbados. And third prize is $3,000 US or 6,000 Barbados. And what this small amount of funding is hoping to do is boost their idea and take it to the next level. And there will also be a mentorship program involved. So participants will have access to mentorship from regional experts in various categories, whether it's tourism, agriculture, fisheries, and entrepreneurship. So this is one way in which people listening right now can become involved within the next few days. I mean, COVID has been going on now for a few weeks, but we must act now. And it really...
I'm sure if they weren't listening before when they heard that 20,000, somehow the ears may have, you know, pricked a little bit more.
Yes. And this is something, if we do have listeners from over the Eastern Caribbean region, this is open to recognized nationals of 10 Eastern Caribbean countries, which is where the United Nations Development Program works within the Eastern Caribbean.
All right.
So yeah, follow us on social if you use social media. If not, you have that WhatsApp number. And people can always get in touch with me. If anyone, you know, reaches out to you directly, you can put them on to me, and I'm happy to share a bit more about how we're really trying to foster that culture of innovation to solve challenges within the blue economy under the COVID end.
All right, just a comment and a query, and then, of course, we go to back to the lines. I think we've been trying to reach Nicole Rollins. She is the president of the Farm Connect Cooperative Society Limited. I want to bring her in, but before we do that, I want to just read this comment because I like for all views to contain here on Brass Tacks. This person is really saying, "Hi Corey, these agriculture protocols are much in line with the plans of the global elite who are trying to bring about global surveillance society where they monitor our every action, our every move, it's tracked and monitored just like inmates." So that's another perspective. When we talk about, you know, the drones and surveillance, there are people out there that believe that that is all part of a type of a global agenda. You can touch on that if you wish or not. But this one is a question to you guys. And that is really, how can persons who live in high-rise residents get involved in these type of activities? So we can take some comments from the panel, then we're going to bring in Nicole. It's saying, "I want to know if there's been any thought given to how we can get people who live in high-rise and such residences to get involved."
Well, I think first and foremost that everyone, irrespective of where you live, has a role to play. We will be practical in acknowledging the fact that some persons that live in high-rises and apartments may be less impacted in terms of their environment with respect to participating in agriculture than others. But nonetheless, food security can be practiced in any type of environment. There are many different varieties of plants that you can actually plant at home as well. And I'm not telling the person that I raise the plant shades, but usually we have shades planted on our gallery, on our porch as well. Mm-hmm. And you need to be very realistic. I'm not going to tell them that they can plant the world of watermelons living in a high-rise and feed themselves. But at the same time, there are some minor things that they can do to actually make a contribution and sustain themselves as well. It has to be practically understood that they may not be able to do so relative to persons who have a bit of greenery around the house that can go and plant some bananas and stuff as well. But I think it's not even modern technology that's needed. Once you have some space, once you can accumulate a bit of dirt inside of a pot, you can plant something at home and contribute towards the overall food security framework. And some persons may argue, man, you're telling somebody to plant a shave at home, and that's really securing food security for a country. But the food security framework is not one that is built up among the persons who only have land. Anything at all that keeps you at home, suppose you just want to leave home that specific day just to get peppers, just to get shaves, just to get even they got some minor lemons that you can grow on the inside as well. If it is that one shave that you have on the inside keeps you from going out and keeps you practicing social distancing on that one particular day, not every day, then you are adding to the overall food security framework and the overall framework of securing persons against instances like the COVID-19 as well. But nonetheless,
right,
another opportunity for persons who live in the high-rises, if there is greenery around the high-rises, they can also engage in communal practices as well. We've done this as well in Guyana, and it works very well. The most difficult thing is to get the persons at the table to understand very well the responsibilities of each partner, whether it be a scheduled intervention where the persons go and this person and that person manages Monday and Tuesday, the other person manages the other day. And they also need to have a security framework in place where maybe to do some monitoring at night. Doesn't mean I have to wake up at 12 and 1 o'clock, but maybe they may attend to it as well and see what's going on at some hours when they're coming in as well. So I think there's still space for persons who live in those type of places to actually participate. And the third option would be for government or any entities that are interested to actually make a provision for those persons, even if it's on a very...
Any specific crop would actually thrive? I know they got the upside down tomato project. There's the things you can grow. Any specific crops that y'all know of that y'all could recommend to anybody listening know that want to go and pop something in right now?
But that will grow fast?
Yeah, we'll grow in the indoor kind of community where you can grow on the patio and stuff. I know the tomatoes for sure because they have the thing where you can fill the bag and have it grow downward as opposed to up. And that kind of strategy I've seen for high rise, but any crops in particular that persons can more look to when you're growing on the patio or you're growing in the kitchen or stuff like that?
Peppers. I have seen persons in those types of structures. I've seen them growing even spinach across the patio as well. Once it's soiled in a reasonable size spot to get the nutrients, I've seen them growing even lettuce as well. One of the persons in the 10,000 resilience program to which Nature Farm Ranch is a partner as well, has also been sending some images of lettuce growing in a very small pot. It's not in the earth as well. So I think there's really no limitation in terms of, well, there's a limitation in terms of some of the crops, but there's no limitation in terms of ingenuity to recognize that once you have a pot, you can grow things like lettuce, you can even grow the spinach. After a while, you may need to actually repurpose it or put it someplace else. You can grow shrimps, you can grow the tomatoes. There's a wide variety of things that you can grow.
Or pick as it grow. All right, we're gonna move on from that. Obviously, people can actually look it up as well and get some more. Romella here in the background chomping at the bit, so go.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the instant kitchen garden was created. We have kitchen gardens out there on patios, and the kitchen garden has two different sizes. That's 2x3, 4x6, and 4x10. And the reason for that is so that persons will have the option to choose which one is suitable for their condition and also the space in which they live. The reason why I say their condition is because 2x3 is raised to your waist height, where you don't actually have to bend down to attend the garden. So yes, there are options where despite you live in a close-knitted society, whether it be a small village or a high-rise building, we designed the instant kitchen garden to tackle that particular problem. So even if you are not the best grower, the mere fact that there you can alter the timing in terms of the pattern for watering based on the plant that you plant, this is the reason why the instant kitchen garden was created. So yes, you can grow food despite whatever situation you may be in.
All right, let's go to Nicole Rawlings. Miss Nicole Rawlings, want to welcome you again. She's the president of the Farm Connect Cooperative Society Limited. And I want to bring her in as we look at the future of agriculture and where we really are going and can go, you know, amid COVID and post-COVID. So good afternoon and welcome, Nicole. Hey, Nicole, are you hearing us? All right, while we fix that, let's take a call because we are actually galloping towards the end of the program. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon.
I've been listening to the broadcast, and Lorenzo, I've been drawn very close to the comment of Lorenzo, saying that he was fed from the land and the sea. That's exactly. So I want to ask a question. With the position of the virus, COVID, we have become very, very, very aware of our agriculture. It has become the number one talk point in Barbados.
Yep.
And down to the point there, there's no way you refer to the high-rise agriculture. What I want to ask Lorenzo, and ask the panel there, you've taken a lot of time over the last 3 to 4 months, so over the last year, proving that agriculture can be our main source of survival. I'm wondering, as people are saying it will get back to normal, if the funding that agriculture should get to move forward, if it will be passed on to another ministry. That is to say that with agriculture need funding now to expand on some of these things that people like Lorenz and the others have been saying. But we have found that a lot of grants and a lot of donations have been passed on to let's say, for example, the Ministry of Tourism. So if we are supposed to have a country that can feed ourselves, what do the panel think of that, that more interest should not be paid now on agriculture than it was paid before?
Lorenzo? Oh, wait, hold. Lorenzo? And then we have his line on hold. Yeah, Lorenzo, go ahead.
Yeah. I was actually saying that the caller, I want to actually acknowledge and commend him for that particular comment. And if by proxy, he's actually lobbying for more funds to come towards foreign funder, I will not object. But more to the point that he made in terms of if some of the resources should be redirected away from government and towards other entities, I do have a view that the role of government in a country, most countries, apart from some outside circumstances, is really to facilitate, is really to set policy, and is really to create what a lot of persons fashion to be the enabling environment. In order to do that, government has to work with both the private sector, and in most recent times, we recognize the usefulness of working with the NGOs as well. And this is to say that government cannot engage in a pilot project or a pilot initiative to bring new approaches to the market. But there must be a recognition that other partners may have not necessarily capacity in terms of the numbers and employees, but may have capacities in terms of the experience as well as the ideas to take the country forward as well. And this can transcend beyond just agriculture and fisheries as well. This is a general statement, but for the purposes of our discussion, I do believe that we have many players in the market, such as Ramel, that can add significant value to the overall food security framework. And the caller is very right that agriculture seems to be the new sexy word on the market right now, if I'm allowed to use that word. It has been a discussion that has been going on for years, but the emphasis on agriculture now is higher than before. And the only drawback of circumstances like this is that it is really something that tends to disappear as soon as the circumstances with regards to COVID start to disappear and things come back to normal, and then agriculture is not really anything that is really important anymore. But Corey, there's one thing that I watch all the time, and this is not to digress too far. There's something that I watch on TV called it's called Doomsday Cruise. I watch because it's fun. And at one point when I started watching it, I told myself there's a whole bunch of crazy people that think the world coming to end, that building bunkers and stocking up on this and stocking up on that. There's nobody on earth that was laughing more at the rest of the world than those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only saying that to say that you never know what can happen.
We may preppers.
Think that COVID is flattening out. No, I'm not going to advocate that anything is going to come in it. 2 years or so to make a scramble again.
Mm-hmm.
But we never know what's going to happen.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being prepared, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But I actually want to salute a lot of Barbadians out there actually growing today. The WhatsApp is now being flooded with pictures. Everybody's showing off the crops growing in the pots. You know, I have a million pictures here. The shive, the pumpkin. Listen, the Corey's plants such as lettuce, Chinese cabbage, parsley, thyme, marjoram, celery, shive, kale, sweet peppers, garlic, beets, etc. can be grown on the patio. This body with a guava now. They're showing a guava growing in pot. They got a picture with them in the scale. It weigh about a pound. You're not growing out of a pot. You understand? So everybody's showing off now. My veg in my pot. Everybody's showing off. Good. This guy showing off here. No, this one I want to read because this speaks now to government facilitation. This one says, here at Country Park Towers, the NHC, in the contract with tenants, state that we cannot plant anything on the outside I am amazed and was telling my son only recently that this in this climate, it's so silly. Government needs to come up with plans that include and benefit the low-income tenants of the housing areas and high-rise with the wasteland that sometimes surround the housing projects. So there you go. We hear talking about this, but it doesn't match with the actual plans. That's
going on. Prohibitive regulations, yeah.
Correct. So we need to connect the two. And I know the Minister of Agriculture is listening because he's fact-checking as we go along. So we've been doing pretty good as the program has proceeded.
But here's what should happen as a result of that.
And remember, I want everybody getting your closing comments because we actually just got about 4 more minutes. So,
but I can close it real fast for us. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. What the government should do consistent to the policy to have, that they introduced a number of years ago where every community should have an open space, recognizing places like Country Park Towers, government should ensure going forward that when or if they continue to construct any particular settlements like that, that there must be a designated space for a communal agricultural space as well. And that might actually allow them to not have the concerns about persons bringing any excess soil into the compound and adding any wear and tear to their particular building.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right, Nicola and Thing, let's get some closing comments as we head out today.
Sure. So I think just wrapping up and summarizing what we've spoken about, how do we continue to shift mindset towards the fisheries and agriculture sectors and make them seem attractive so that we can attract individuals into these industries? And how can we support the culture of innovation, you know, starting in the schools, integrating into the curriculum, and then building out? And how do we build, I haven't touched on this too much today, but how do we build, we hear about the blue, the green, the circular economies, these are all linked, the digital economy, they're all linked. So how do we build on these and show that none of them are separate? And as was mentioned earlier, everyone is buying seedlings now, mm-hmm. and people are supporting their local farmers and fisher folk. So how do we continue even post-COVID doing this? And I think really initiatives such as those that we are doing, as well as many of the valuable inputs from callers, will help us move forward as we look to the future of the agriculture and fishery sectors in Barbados.
All right. Romel Grosner.
Yes, I think that we, as a country right now, we are doing the best with the resources that we have to throw at agriculture. What I would like to see is a particular structure going forward where we look to address production at the commercial level, address production at the domestic level, and also through educating a certain campaign, determine how we are going to remove the taboo associated with agriculture. I think that once we approach it by those three pillars, that we will make a significant dent in terms of improving the entire sector, education, commercial, domestic production.
All right, that has been the Young Turks looking at the way forward in the face of COVID with a specific focus on agriculture, but we touched on a number of other areas in terms of renewable energy and other innovations as we seek to look at how we can use this crisis to improve. As the saying goes, never waste a good crisis. I want to thank Lorenzo Yearwood, Executive Director of Farm Finder Global, Nicola Simpson, head of the Blue Economy Accelerator Lab at the UNDP and the head of the COVID Economic Transformation Team, Romel Grosner, over there, the head at All Greens. We had on the line, we got back President of Farm Connect Cooperative Society Limited, Miss Nicole Rawlings, but not with enough time. But I'm telling you, this is not the end. Although you hear the music, this is the beginning as we start to look at innovation going forward. Times of COVID and post-COVID. Allow me now to thank my producer and technical operator, Dennis Johnson. I've been your host, Corey Lane, and we thank Williams Industries Incorporated for making it happen. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and this lane is closed.